Chapter 55. Knives, swords, and clubs lined the tables set up along the high stone walls of the arena. The building had a heaviness to it, a weight of centuries of use, years steeped in magic and power, and not all of it good. Charlie felt a little lightheaded just being near it, yet Captain Tour was dragging him even closer.
"Enchanted sword, sir," a vendor called out as they passed.
"Enchanted, you say? What is it capable of, then?" Tour inquired.
"Oh, it is a powerful weapon, brave sir, guaranteed to cut the hand of all enemies who try to wield it."
Tour picked up the blade and swung it a few times, testing the weight. "A decent weapon, but the enchantment is but a middling one that would wear off after its first use," he said, showing the Conus bracelet glowing around his wrist. He slid the lightly glowing blade from the sheath on his hip. "This, I can assure you, is not underpowered. You would be wise to keep that in mind when next you attempt to sell knock-off enchanted weapons."
"So sorry, sir, so sorry," the man groveled.
Captain Tour paid him no further heed and walked away. "There are actual enchanted weapons here?" Charlie found himself asking, his curiosity outweighing his discomfort and anger for a moment. "Not true powered weapons, but temporary enchantment that will do the trick in a bind. With a strong enough casting, you can achieve something close enough to the real thing for those less knowledgeable." With all he had seen, call it what you will, a special form of tech or magic or something in between, it was finally clear that there was a power at work in this most unusual galaxy that was unlike anything Charlie had ever even hypothesized to exist. They rounded the structure, heading toward a large tent just ahead. A small gate, just big enough for a man to pass through, was carved into the stone. Heavy metal bars, dark with age and something he didn't want to even try to identify, blocked all from entry. Or exit, he realized. Captain Tour unexpectedly allowed him to pause a moment, amused as his slave peered through the bars into the vast holding area within.
"What the actual fuck?"
Charlie couldn't believe what he saw. His shock was broken when the bellowing shriek of one of the massive beasts within pierced the air.
"Ah, the cries of the Zamoki. They are haunting, are they not?" Captain Tour said, watching his terrified slave with great amusement.
"Those are Zamoki?"
"Yes, though I thought Graham Fear had a larger collection on hand."
A plume of smoke wafted out of the opening as one of the beasts spewed a stream of hot flame and stamped its feet.
"Zamoki are fucking dragons?" Charlie blurted, stumbling back in shock.
"I've never heard of a dragon before, but that's what I get for this mediocre translation spell, I suppose. Now come along. You don't want to be late meeting your new master."
Charlie felt the collar tug and quickly moved his feet to keep up, all the while his mind racing from what he'd seen.
Dragons? And not little piddling lizard pretenders. These were grade A, big as a house, fire-breathing dragons.
"Who is this Gramphir?" Charlie asked, already knowing and dreading the answer.
"He is your new owner. He procures and breaks Zamoki for domestic use. Of course, they are wild creatures, and ever so violent, so the process tends to be rather labor-intensive."
Tour nodded to the heavily armed man at the entrance to the tent, then entered, Charlie in tow.
"Gramphir," he called out in greeting to the rotund, heavily bearded man with pale orange skin and jet black hair.
"It is good to see you, my friend."
"And a pleasure it is to lay eyes upon you as well, Tour. It's been a long time."
"Indeed it has."
"So, I received your screen message. You say you have a troublesome one you're looking to offload?"
"Yes, this one has proven most stubborn. I had hoped to sell him into the gladiator schools, but he simply will not fight."
Gramphir looked Charlie up and down, assessing him as one would a horse or pig.
"Well, he's got some meat on his bones, but he doesn't appear diseased. You say he's strong?"
"Yes, quite, in fact."
"Hmm. Well, I suppose I have been in need of a few more slaves to feed the Zamoki. Your usual fee?
Plus 10% for his belongings, Tour replied, pulling open the pack on Charlie's back and removing several items.
Hey, those are mine, he blurted, recognizing his med scanner, sampling probes, and survey goggles.
Gramfear cuffed him across the head.
You do not speak unless spoken to.
Like I said, a difficult one, Tour said.
Well, since we are old friends, I'll take him off your hands for the standard rate, plus 5%.
10.
7, and I throw in dinner and a woman.
Tour laughed heartily. Now that is what I call making an offer I cannot refuse.
Very well, 7 it is.
The two men shook hands, and the deal was done. Charlie looked around the area. It was stocked with weapons and what appeared to be stretchers, but nothing edible so far as he could tell.
Excuse me, you said I was to feed the dragons, but I don't see any food.
Gramfear and Tour stared at him a moment, then burst into laughter.
Come here, slave, the green man ordered.
I have to tell you, Gramfear, it's been slim pickings lately, he said as he raised his hand to the collar.
I have heard similar from other traders, my friend, but it should pick up soon enough.
One would hope.
In theory, ulama tengope.
The collar snapped open, and Charlie felt his neck free of the weight for the first time in what felt like ages. The two men continued chatting away, but Charlie again found that he now understood not a word of what was said. Gramfear pulled a slightly heavier collar from his belt and snapped it roughly around Charlie's neck. The metal grew warm a moment as the seam sealed, then rested coolly on his skin.
There we are, Gramfear said, the new translator functioning. Collar on, deal done now. Go, we eat, get you a woman, the large man said to the captain.
Is good. Happiness to seeing you again, friend.
He must be even cheaper than Captain Tour, if the translation spell is this bad, Charlie lamented, looking around at what was to be his new home. But what were his duties, exactly? And how much of his kit had just been sold off along with him? Did a man's possessions go with him upon transfer? Was that normal?
A cacophony of shrieks filled the air.
Zamoki hungry. Nava, come take new one for feeding, Gramfear called out to one of his men.
I'm sorry, did you say feeding? Charlie asked, a sinking feeling in his gut.
A lackey grabbed him roughly and hauled him out of the tent, across a small patch of dirt leading into the walls of the arena. Charlie fought back, thrashing in the man's hands as hard as he could.
Stop, fool!
Charlie spun from his hands, smashing hard into the jagged edge of the wall, opening a nasty slice in his arm for his trouble, and just as the one that Slavers had cut had finally healed completely. With his adrenaline spiking, he didn't even notice.
Fuck you! I'm not about to!
Binari Pa, the man said, ending the discussion then and there. Charlie woke some time later, laid out on a small cot. He had been washed, clothed in simple attire, his injured arm wrapped in a piece of cloth, though blood had begun to seep through. It isn't broken, he noted, moving his fingers. Should heal fast with the water still in my system. He sniffed the air. Is that spice? He sniffed again. It most definitely was. A sinking feeling grew in his gut as he put his nose to his skin. Ah, shit, he said with a defeated sigh. He was what smelled good. They'd bathed him, put him in clean clothes, and even spiced him to make him smell nice. After all, they wouldn't want to serve a dragon a smelly meal.